And so today we're going to look at a parable or a story that Jesus shared in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to learn how to put that gift of God's kindness to work. How to put the gift of God's kindness, the salvation that is found through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, how to put that to work in a practical way to really make a difference in people's life. And we're going to look at a parable. It's found in Matthew 13. It starts in verse 3 and it goes through verse 9. And then Jesus does something with this parable that he doesn't always do with the parables that he shares, but he interprets the meaning of the parable for a few of his disciples. And we're going to look at the meaning of the parable and then kind of charge us as a church to practically put that in motion as we prepare our community for the Easter services. And I know that a local church is preparing for Easter services to share about the resurrection of Christ and how it can impact people's life. But we at Valorous Church, we want to do our part and get out here and invite our friends, our neighbors, come on, and those around us to come to Easter services. And we're going to be having three Easter services on Easter Sunday. The first one will be at 8 a.m., the second one will be at 9:30, and the third one will be at 11:15, all identical services. So maybe you could go and invite somebody to come to one of those services. And then we're going to have a Good Friday service, which is a totally different service than the Sunday services that we're inviting the whole community to, also at 6:30 p.m. on that Friday night. So again, that's an invitation for you to come, but I also want to charge you in going out and helping us together invite others around us to attend that. Because who knows? You know what? That one service that somebody attends may forever change their life. And not only change their life, it could change a family's life. It could change a next generation's life. Come on. And so we want to look at this parable Jesus told today and kind of unpack it, because I think it's going to really speak to our hearts in a powerful way to not hide the gift of God's kindness, but leverage the gift of God's kindness. We'll start with verse 3 in Matthew 13. And the Bible says this. It says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. How many of you know seeds are awesome things? Yeah, the Bible says he went out to plant some seeds. And as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds, they came and ate them. Other seeds, it says, fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. These seeds, they sprouted quickly, but the soil was shallow, it says. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. It says, other seeds, they fell among thorns, and they grew up and they choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds, it says, fell on fertile soil. Everybody say, fertile soil. That should be our heart. That should be the heart of you and me if we've trusted God's kindness. It says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as been planted. And Jesus says here in this parable, in this story, he says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And then he interprets the story. If we skip down to verse 18 there in Matthew 13, he says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. So there's a message about a kingdom. And he says, that's what that particular seed represents that fell on the footpath. It says, the evil one that comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. So here, this parable teaches us a valuable lesson that we can apply today as a church family. And again, we're gonna be having Easter services that are gonna be coming up very soon. And at the end of the day, when you leave this place, we're gonna provide some printed cards. We call them invite cards. And they're gonna be available for you on your exit today. They have bundles of three of these, and hopefully you can put three of them in your hand. But what we wanna encourage you to do is to see these cards a lot like seeds. A seed that you and I can plant wherever we go in our life, wherever we can begin to invite others to come in and hear the message about who Christ is and what he's done in our life and how he's transformed our life so that maybe he can fall into their hearts and transform their life. So we're gonna encourage you to get some of these cards today on the way out. Also, they may have, after the first service, they may have a few of the yard signs left on the front lawn. If your neighborhood allows you to put up an invite sign in your yard to invite people to Easter services, that would be awesome if you want to grab one of those signs and put it up. But these are simply tools, okay? These are pieces of paper. These are signs. These are tools that we want to equip you with to begin to invite people to hear the same good news that has possibly changed your life if you have trusted who Christ is. And again, as we begin to share these cards and share these signs and invite people to Easter services, we know from a history of church that more people will come in our culture to a Easter service than any other time of the year. And so practically speaking, if we just invite somebody, no matter who they are, no matter the condition of their heart, no matter where they were last night, last month, last week, as we have encounters with people, come on, it is a possibility that God is at work in their life, which I believe that God is at work in all people's life. And if we partner with God with this marvelous gift of salvation that he has given us and begin to work with what he's doing in the world and invite people, their life could be forever changed. Can I tell you something? God wants people to know who he is. God wants people to know why Jesus came to the earth. God wants people to know that, you know what, that they don't have to die in missing the mark of his glorious standard for their life, die in their sin. God wants people to spend eternity with him. And so he invites us, those who already know, to make him known. Come on, church. And the way we begin to make him known is we all begin as a church family to participate and help people in our sphere of influence, come on, know who he is. And again, it's a multiplication effect. It changes the world. But in this particular parable that Jesus told, we can make some observations that really, I believe, will help us in spreading this good news about the kingdom of God and what Jesus came to do. And the first thing I wrote down in my journal about this is, according to this passage of scripture, the seed is the word of God. And so the seed is always good, and it is always plentiful. And again, God has enough of his goodness and the seed of his word. He has enough of it for anybody and everybody. Come on. In other words, he's not gonna run out of seed. And so again, we need to grab hold of some of this good news in our individual life and begin to spread this seed, this word, wherever we go. Now, we can't determine what's on the receiving end of the seed that we spread. But according to this passage of scripture, you know what, there was nothing wrong with the word. No time, no place. The problem with was the receptivity, was with the hearts of the they call it the soils in this parable, in this story. And so again, we don't always know the condition of someone's heart. Come on. We can't just outwardly look at somebody and see where their heart is. The Bible says that whenever Christ comes in, he begins to produce fruit out of our life. We can't begin to look at somebody and tell whether they're going to be receptive to the seed or non-receptive to the seed. So there's an opportunity for you to get rejected when you share the seed. Come on, somebody. And because we don't think always that everybody's going to receive the card. In other words, somebody may cuss you out when you give them a card, all right? But the reality of it is that shouldn't hinder you giving them the opportunity. In other words, it's not based on the receiving end. It's based on, do I have a heart that's connected to God? And do I really believe that the kingdom of God and what Jesus came and did as he resurrected from the grave and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and he's going to return, do I really believe it can change a person's life? And if I really believe it can change a person's life, I have to believe that that seed is always good, no matter what the condition of their heart is. Listen to what Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 says. It says, for everyone, everybody say everyone. That means it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. So I want to encourage you to have beautiful feet. Come on. It's to be a messenger of the good news. Now your feet might look like my feet. You don't ever want to put on a pair of flip-flops. Come on, somebody. But the reality of it is you know what? The Bible says that our feet are beautiful. The it's a beautiful thing to begin to go out and begin to share the good news of who people is. But you got to really believe that God's at work in the world. No matter what the trials are, no matter what the mountaintops are, no matter what a person is going through, you got to really believe that God wants them to be saved. Did you know the Bible says that God wishes no one to perish? That's why he's tarrying his return. Is simply he wishes that no one would waste away. No one would reject the good news of who he is. And people have opportunity. And we got to just keep sowing those seeds. They may not have received the seed the first time, but we got to keep sowing the seeds. They may have rejected you 10 times. Come on, somebody. But we have to keep showing the seeds. Now, what that doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that you got to stand on a street corner and start hollering at everybody, turn or burn. But what it does mean is you got to have a heart for God and a heart for people and have some compassion inside of you. Come on, church. And believe, you know what, that God wants to touch their life with the love of Jesus and he wants to transform their life and you be a real person and you be a loving, compassionate person and you reach into their life and you touch their life so that their life can be changed. Again, it's about sowing the seeds. If you're a part of God's family, you are to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. But can I tell you what, Jesus, one of the reasons he said he came to earth is to seek and save that which is lost. people who are going in their own direction, who think they're having life all figured out. But what happens in life, as people get older and as they think they have life figured out, they realize that they have a need for some guidance in their heart and their life. And no matter what they're pursuing in life, how good it may look on the outside, every single person has a need for God to come into their life and begin to guide their life and direct their life. But you got to have a heart to believe that. See, and again, speaking, a lot of times what people do is only look at things from a humanitarian point of view. They think a person who don't have as much as they have, or don't have have as things as good as they may have, then that person has a need. But somebody who has more than they have, or let's call it just from the outside looking in, they look all put together and everything looks to be happily there ever after in their life. They may have plenty of resources, but you got to believe that, you know what, no matter what condition in the world a person has or does not have, that's not their need. Their true need is a relationship with the creator of the universe. And it's only found through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you talk to people long enough, you can discover, you know what, really, if they have that relationship or not. But you don't start there. You start just by sowing the seed, just being compassionate. And in other words, what does that practically look like? If you're going to give out this card, it's awesome. You can leave it on a counter somewhere. Come on. And that can be a seed. You can leave it at the gas pump. Somebody's frustrated, maybe they pick up this card. But chances are they're frustrated to pick up this card. And they're like, they may get mad at the card, throw it in the dump. But leaving this card could plant a seed. Because I don't know where somebody is. However, what would make it better, come on, is if you, like, let's go to a restaurant for a minute, go out to eat, and you got a lovely waitress, you could hand her the card, come on, and you could simply leave her a good tip, come on, somebody, and it would be awesome, that tip would be awesome in her life, but maybe that would make her heart a little bit more receptive to the card. But let me tell you what won't work. If you're stingy, come on. And you're like, she forgot my tea glass. So I'm going to show her who's boss. I ain't leaving her no tip, but I'll leave her an invite card. All right. A lot of times it's how we approach people. And again, it doesn't mean they're right. She should have kept my tea glass full. Come on, somebody. It's her job. But the reality of it is, if I'm going to give her an invite card and invite her to church, I could have a frustrating day, but I probably need to have the compassion of the Lord if I'm going to give out an invite card. Don't do the opposite with the invite cards. In other words, don't put a bumper sticker on your car to say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about, and you know, flip them off with the bird. Come on, somebody. So it's not just about the invite. It's about, hey, do I have compassion on the person as I'm inviting them? And again, sow the seeds, sow them generously, give out the invite cards. But here, the Bible says when it truly impacts somebody's life, it forever changes their life. I think about one of the first seeds as we started this community called Valorous Church today. And it was back in 2003, in October of 2003, my family and I, we moved here and we started in a neighborhood. We began to meet our neighbors, show hospitality, kindness to our neighbors. People from all walks of life to begin to come into our living room. And we would have a Bible study and my wife would show hospitality. She would show kindness to people. And, you know, eventually we would begin to share the word of God and people from all kinds of backgrounds. I mean, we had people from religious backgrounds, from denominational backgrounds, from non-church backgrounds, from Grandmama Sally's background. They were all coming in there and everybody had an opinion. And what's amazing is we just let them share their opinion. And as they shared their opinion, you know, we just continued to love on people. But I have this rock. And this rock is probably older than 22 years old, but I've had it for 22 years. And this rock has the date on it, 04-04-04. It was around Easter time in 2004. And one of our neighbors wrote on this rock, and I still have it today, and I keep it in my office, I keep it sometimes in my house, sometimes I keep it in my car, to remind me, to remind us of let's keep on reaching people. But this rock says this on it: Christ was fully accepted in my mind, soul, body. And it has the initials PF. That stands for Phyllis Fessman. Now, Phyllis Fessman has gone on to be with the Lord. But she wrote on this rock on 04-04-04 that Christ was fully accepted in her life because we had begun to sow seed. This is the first person that we know of that began to write down their testimony and be baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ in the life of this church. And so I keep this rock to remind me that, you know what, there's still a lot more Phyllises. There's a lot more people that need to know who Jesus is. And it doesn't matter what their background is. We as a church family need to be available to share Jesus with them. That's planting seed. Come on. I didn't know the condition of Phyllis's heart. I didn't know all the ins and outs of where she had been and what she had done. And I just knew how to, at that time, 22 years ago, begin to start sharing the good news of Christ and who she was and who Christ said she was. And she surrendered her life because I believe that the seed was always good and it was always plentiful. And can I tell you what happened in Phyllis's life? It was one seed planted. I want to share with you today that one seed that you may plant this week before Easter in 2 weeks, the one person that you may invite, that one person, their life was changed and hundreds of people believed because that seed was planted in her and that seed come alive in a heart that believed in the good news of who Jesus is. And she was the mouth, I call it, of the South. And she began to share with everybody in our neighborhood the goodness of Jesus. And hundreds of people came to know who Jesus was because one seed was planted in one person's heart. It wasn't because I did anything. It was because God was up to everything. I need you to know, I don't know, it might be a 5-year-old, come on, that you need to plant the seed in their heart. It might be an 85-year-old on their deathbed, and maybe you need to plant the seed in their heart. It might be a wayward person walking down the street, and you need to plant the seed in their heart. It might be the attorney that's helping you with your divorce papers. You may need to plant the seed in their heart. It might be a waitress at a place. You need to plant the seed in their heart. It might be a boss. It might be an employee. It might be, you know, it might be a school person that you're going to school with. But if you believe that God can change people's life, I'm inviting you just to plant one seed. Come on. We don't just put this printed stuff on cards because we want to waste money on print material. We put it on there because it's a tool, my friend, to just make the pathway a little bit easier for you and I to share the good news. This parable teaches us that, you know what? The seed is always good and it is always plentiful. We don't know what's on the receiving end, which leads me to my next point. The heart of a person may not always be ready. The heart of a person may not always be ready, but don't you give up. Don't you give up on the person because their heart's not ready. Do you know how many times I rejected the seed of the good news before it was received in my heart and took root? I'm telling you, I had a grandmama pray heaven down over me. Come on, somebody. And she would tell me all the good news about Jesus. But you know what? The cares of life began to take me in a different direction. I had parents that raised me in a family and shared the good news with me, but it didn't take root. And I decided I wanted to do life my way instead of doing life underneath God's leadership and his rule and reign of my heart. But again, over and over and over, people shared the good news. But it wasn't until, you know what, God had my place or had my heart in a place that was receptive to that good news that began to change my life. I'm inviting you, my friend, don't you give up on people, because God hasn't given up on people. And you don't know, you know, no matter how far off the rails their life may seem to you, maybe it's going to be in that moment that God's going to forever change their life. But we're not God. God calls us to partner with him. But what we oftentimes like to do is we like to try to figure out if the seed's going to be in the good soil or is it going to be in the bad soil. And the reality of it is this parable teaches us that, you know what, hearts are in all kinds of condition. And our job isn't to determine where a person's heart is. Our job is to share the good news. And if we continually share the good news, that their receptivity will show us whether they receive that or not. But I wrote down, the heart may not always be in a receptive place, but we shouldn't stop because someone rejects the good news. Again, I am a thankful human being for all the people who sowed the seeds of the good news of the kingdom into my heart and my life. But the reality of it is, there were probably thousands of seeds sown before the one ever took root and began germinating. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing what is good. At just the right time, God will do his work. The problem is oftentimes we grow weary in doing what is good because the person just ain't responding the way we think they should respond. My wife experienced this in my journey. She thought I needed to respond the way she wanted me to respond. But she began to talk to God about me, and God began to talk to her about her. Oh. She thought she was going to tell me to receive the good news. But God began to talk to her about her walk, her attitude, and who she was. Come on. And as she began to let God work on her, just the overflow of what he was doing in her life was the very thing that transformed my life. Come on. So, again, don't judge the book by the cover. Your job isn't to determine whether the person is receptive or not. Our job, no matter what nationality, what background, or where they are coming from, or where they are in life, rich or poor, young or old. It doesn't matter, male or female. It doesn't matter what tribe, what tongue, where they come from. Our job is to share the good news with everybody. And I do believe in due season at just the right time, that seed could take root and forever change a person's life. Which leads me to my last point. It's according to this parable, we all need to be seed spreaders over soil examiners. We all need to be seed spreaders, spread the good news of the kingdom over being a soil examiner. because a soil examiner would be what we call a soil scientist. My brother's one of those. He's an agronomist. Come on. And he examines soil to see what best soil a plant will grow in and all these kinds of things I don't even understand. But the reality of it is, many people are trying to be soil examiners, trying to examine the condition of a person's heart. And only God can see that. And at the end of the day, I got to believe that the God of the universe is working in somebody's heart. If I'll just work the seed and do my part, God will do his part. And again, it's not for me to determine whether, you know what, today you're going to receive the seed or not receive the seed of the goodness of God's kingdom. But what can be determined, not where I sow the seed, but once the seed germinates, I can determine if that seed took root. And I invite everybody to do this examination. Examine your heart. Has the seed of the kingdom really taken root in your life? Has the seed of the kingdom fallen on good soil? Not because you voiced it with your lips, I believe, but does the seed that is germinated in your heart produce? Because according to this parable, when it falls on good soil, on a heart that's receptive to it, it don't just sprout up and then fade away. It sprouts up, come on, and then it begins to produce 30, 60, 100 times of what was sown. In other words, it begins to be exponential in what happens. And that don't mean you become an evangelist for 3 weeks. What that means is that forever changed your life. And now, as you're walking through life and God continues to transform your life is producing and it's affecting spheres of influence. It's affecting your neighborhood. It's affecting your locale. It's affecting your gym. It's affecting your hall. It's affecting your building. It's affecting your school. Come on. It's affecting the city you live in. That's why I believe a church that has the good news of the kingdom spread in it, you can't contain what God is doing. That's why I believe that every seat in every church service should be full, because it should be producing. It should be outward flowing. It should be growing, and it should be inviting and hospitable. Bringing others, come on, bringing others into the kingdom so that their life is forever changed. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples after he resurrected, before he ascended into the heavens, he says this. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Do you believe that today? He says, therefore, go and make disciples, go and make students of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what that means? That means He will partner with you. He says he's with me always to the end of the age. He says, go and teach people, make disciples of all he commanded, baptizing them, helping them identify, you know, through baptism that they're a follower of Jesus. But again, whenever you become a follower of Jesus, it begins to produce something. And again, I'm not here to pass judgment on anybody. That's not what I'm here. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not here to pass judgment on your lifestyle. I'm not here to pass judgment on anything. But my Bible teaches us that by our fruit, we can know, you know what, whether the seed has taken root. Is your life in Christ changing anything? And again, I'm not just talking about changing the way, is it beginning to transform the spheres of influence that you're in? Again, it's not about behavior modification, but your behavior will get modified. Come on, somebody. As the Holy Spirit of God roots in your heart and begins to work in your life. And again, you won't just be modifying it so you can, you know, say, God, look at me and how awesome I am. You're modifying it because you want the person over there to see the fruit of God at work in your life and forever spill over into their life and change their life. I'm not here to impress them, but I'm here because God has touched me and I believe in the transformation power, come on somebody, of the seed of the gospel that can be planted in a human's heart and forever change their life. So I ain't gonna ever stop sowing seed. I ain't gonna ever quit and give up on sowing seed. I'm gonna keep on inviting people to see the kingdom of God and experience it to the full. And so again, the Bible teaches us that if we're truly, truly gonna make a difference here in this life with the kingdom that's sown into our heart, part of doing that is to partner with God. You know, God is a sovereign God. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at one time. But what's amazing to me, because you have two different, really, let's call it schools of thought in the local church. One school of thought is the free will of man. The other school of thought is the sovereignty of God. And so you'll have people say, well, if God's sovereign and knows everything, then why do I need to do anything? Because God chooses to use humanity to impact other people's life. And yes, God is all powerful, all knowing, everywhere at one time. And he knows exactly, you know what, how somebody is going to respond to the good news. But let me say this today, you don't. Come on. And so the reality of it is this. If you buy into God's sovereign and I don't need to do nothing, you need to get in the center of biblical tension. Because the scripture teaches both. God gives free will to man, and God is sovereign, and he is over all, and he is in all, but we get in the center of that biblical tension, and you can't go too far one way or too far the other way. You better get in the center of it and be the church and be who God's called you to be in this earth. And so I like to say it this way. You pray. You get on your knees, and you pray like somebody's salvation depends fully on God at work in their life. And then you get up, if I can get up, and you sow the seed like it fully depends on you. And so today I'm inviting the church not to just sit back and say, well, God's just gonna do whatever he's gonna do. No, no, God said to partner with him and let him work in you and work through you. And I don't claim to be, you know, somebody that has all of these theological issues figured out. But what I do know is God says in his word, what he's gonna do in the world, he's gonna do through something called the local church, the called out people who've been called out of darkness into the wonderful light. He's gonna put them together and he's gonna use them to impact community after community, and he's gonna change the world. And so we don't have an option, though you do have an option. But if you really want to impact the world, I invite you to be a seed sower and use whatever gifts God has given you, and let's together change the world. Easter is right around the corner. Again, we're not going to make you take these invite cards, but we invite you to take these invite cards. And as we go about our days over the next 2 weeks, simply begin to see if God wants you to engage with a person and give them a card. And so, you know, you don't know where that conversation may lead. You don't have to be overbearing. You just gotta have the love of God in your heart. Hand it to them. They may come, they may not come, but in reality, the Bible says that we're to plant seeds and we're to water seeds, and it's up to God to make that seed grow. And so you got to believe that and trust that in your heart. The question for every one of us, man, woman, boy, and girl here today, is, are we going to do our part and watch God change the world? Let me pray for you today. Father God, thank you for challenging us today. God, thank you, God, for not giving up on us. May we not give up on those who are not a part of your family yet. God, I pray that we would be seed sowers and not just soil examiners. That God, we would believe that you're at work in men, women, boys, and girls' life from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life. And God, may we simply invite people to experience the transformation power of the good news of the kingdom by receiving the gift of salvation that Jesus offered on that cross and beginning to live life by the same power that resurrected him from the grave. God, you want to move in. You want to take over people's life. You want to take over families. You want to take over neighborhoods. But God, we can't determine how everybody changes. God, we can be seed sowers and only be influencers. So God, I pray for us as we go about our days, we go about our week, we go about all of our encounters. God, may we see ourselves as people who have the ability to influence someone's eternity by simply being the church, being the people that you called us to be in every single sphere. God, Easter's on the way. We're gonna celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But God, we're gonna believe that not only are we gonna celebrate the resurrection of Christ in our own life and give him praise, but God, you're gonna bring people in and you're going to forever change their life. So God, we pray over our community. We pray over our neighborhoods. We pray over our relationships. We pray over our jobs. That God, would you clearly show us and challenge us to be seed sowers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.